Cups, about winning trophies. I'm inexperienced in a lot of those things.
Can you believe it?
Almost lost the cup and you win it. The new European champions, the treble, the dream come true for you.
I can't believe that. I can't believe that. Football, bloody hell. But they never give in. That's the winner.
Welcome to the American Red Devils podcast. I'm John.
I'm Alex.
We are bringing you the best Manchester United news from this side of the pond.
Ooh, sir. How you doing? How you doing? United fall flat against a bad Arsenal side, losing 1-0 at home to the Gunners, Gunnosaurus Rex. Sir, I'm sure a lot of fans are losing their minds at the moment. Twitter must be an ugly place.
Sir, I tweet out a lot during the match, and after it, I try to shut it off. I took a peek, saw a lot of Ole out, a lot of Lehman Pogba. Very predictable behavior from the Twitterverse. United fans in general, look, we talked about the highs being high and the lows being low, and part of being a fan of this club is when you lose like that at home and you have this start to the league, you know, people are going to be moaning. They're going to be moaning really loud. But, you know, it's a far cry from how we felt RB Leipzig, a Rashford hat trick. Now everyone wants Ole fired just 3 or 4 days later. It's a tight fixture schedule. You know, that has to be taken into account. But, again, there's no excuses for how we started in the league.
There isn't. And, you know, it's not to say we were like outclassed by this kind of flat Arsenal side. We didn't really show up. They got a penalty. That's that. But that being said, it's not the performance you want to see from this United side that needs a big win in the league, needs a win against top six side, which isn't a problem for Ole. It was a problem for Arteta. This is his first big six win as manager of Arsenal. But that being said, we needed the big 3 points. We didn't get them. It's on to Istanbul midweek, which is good. We take the 3 points all day in the Champions League, but then you got Everton on the weekend, and that's not going to be an easy game. 4:30 a.m., sir, for the Reds on the West Coast. Get ready for that, mate. Ooh-wee!
Is that next weekend?
Yeah, buddy.
Sir, you're not going to be out of town for that one.
No, I'm not. I'll be over at your house bright and early.
Oh, there we go. Look, Ole got it wrong. Diamond in the EPL, I didn't, you know... The diamond, it all went wrong because Fred played the holding part of the diamond. Fred and Pogba played so well in the two because you got that Fred work rate, and then plus he's not to worry about cleaning things up at the back. I thought McTominay was the player to play there. I think initially that's where things went wrong. Also, you got Modric on the bench. Why don't you just start him? It seems like Modric has to play that role because the difference between Modric and Fred is Fred unfortunately gives the ball away a little too easily in the middle of the park. And he's in that role. You can't, right? When he's playing in the two with Pogba in the diamond, he can. Modric was the man to play that position, or McTominay. I think Ole got it wrong there. And then we knew it 20 minutes in, it wasn't working. And we didn't switch it up till after halftime. We did look a little better, but it just wasn't enough from United. Arsenal fans are complete riot. The fact they're celebrating. It's like, for me, it boggles my mind. Arsenal's like, oh, such a big win for the club. It's like you played like, they played like shit.
They played terrible.
They're soft. I mean, yeah, they can pass it around. It looks nice. You got to give them credit there. But there was nothing doing. They didn't create a lot of chances. They didn't put the screws to United at all whatsoever. Pogba made one error. Other than that, they weren't going to score. It was destined to be a 0-0, sir. But we did play worse than Chelsea. So where Chelsea, I could say, hey, we should have won. This game, I say, no, it should have been a draw. And then Arsenal celebrating like they won the league. They literally scored a penalty at Old Trafford. And Bellerin. Whoa, that was a soft pen. That was a very soft pen. We've had those called our way, but that, you know, a terrible game all around, and sometimes it's just not your day, so you got to take the L.
They happen, and this team is, if one thing, they are inconsistent, right? The highs are high, the lows are low. It's a young team. They can't put it out every day. There's no doubt that Ole got some things wrong. Fred cannot play that holding position because he cannot pay those passes inside the lines the way Matic can, which you need him to be able to do because we could not play out of the back at all in the first half with Arsenal pressing the shit at United, which didn't allow us to create anything. But, you know, they act like Arsenal was creating, you know, this was like vintage stuff 3 years ago at the Emirates where, De Gea is doing like 13 saves and just like stopping them nonstop. They weren't creating much. You know, it was a pretty impotent Arsenal side. But that being said, United coming out flat, Pogba had to be pulled. I mean, that was the sub, bro. It's like, you do Donny for Pogba, you don't take off Bruno. And I think, it's, you know, we didn't create any more once that happened. He did look vulnerable for that penalty. I thought, I saw that coming all day because he looked a little dogged in that second half. And you want the work rate of a Donny. He's given away quite a few penalties, sir. Our man Paul Pogba, unfortunately.
Dude, credit to United in some respects. They did come out after half with intent to win it, you know, and we did look better. Obviously, we opened up at the back, but, you know, let our players play. Let Harry step up. Let Lindelof step up. I think when you're playing at home, it's like you need to take the game to Arsenal. You can't show them that much respect in our house. And that's where I think Ole, you know, we admit he's learning on the job, but where he got it wrong is the fact that you got to be taking the game to Arsenal. The start of the first second half needs to be the start of the first half, sir. We need to be taking it to them. They can hit us on the counter. So what? Our defense needs to sort that out. We need to be creating chances, intent to score from the jump at Old Trafford. No excuses, play like a champion. I'm not buying this no fans bullshit.
No, and they look vulnerable, right? They look vulnerable in out in space, right? Their center backs look vulnerable at pace. They were fouling a lot. The fact that Gabriel wasn't sent off for that second yellow after Greenwood did him dirty, right? Like, did him dirty, just outside the box. Mike Dean, bro. It's like having a laugh. What do you expect? He's going to screw you. He's going to screw you once. I said there should have been a red card. That one should have been a red. That should be a second yellow all day, pulling him down like that.
If that was a United player, it would have been. You know, Howard Webb, shout out to the great Howard Webb. You know, the bizarro Howard Webb is Mike Dean. You know, he calls everything anti-United. Howard Webb was just giving us everything we
United
needed.
United legend.
We need one of those back, sir. But look, quick PSA for the podcast. We have a big announcement here for our Patreon page. We are revamping it. You can check it out, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. We've already posted some exclusive content there. We have a new logo, sir, and a podcast cover designed by the great Stanley Chow, world-renowned artist and friend of the pod. You've heard his interviews. He's a Manc through and through, loves this club. And he helped us out with some artwork. It looks great. All that artwork is posted on our Patreon page. We will be debuting it later this week. But if you want to check it out, you can sign up at patreon.com. Sir, what do you think of the Stanley Chow design?
Very exciting to have our good friend Stanley Chow do a logo, do a new album cover for us. So if you want to take a sneak peek at that before it rolls out to the general public, join our Patreon. It's a great access. And we're super excited. Taking it to the next level, sir. The American Red Devils never sleep. One step forward.
Dude, he's designed the album cover, the White Stripes. He can design our album cover as well. Stanley Chow, shout out to him, fan of the pod. So the idea of the Patreon page is that we're going to be rolling out exclusive content there first and then putting on our social, as well as doing a monthly behind-the-scenes episode, doing a Patreon mailbag as well. So we're building out that page, and we would love if you could support us there. There's four different tiers. You can sign up to anything from $1 a month to $20 a month. Obviously, merch is included. So if you sign up for the scarf tier, you'll get our new scarf every year. We'll send it your way. It's a great way to support the podcast. And we have a shout out to our new Patreon subscriber at the Sir Alex Ferguson tier, Keith Lesenby. Shout out to Keith for supporting the podcast. We really think Patreon is a great way for you, the fans, to support us directly and help support fan-generated content for fans by fans. You know, we're not going to put any sponsorships on our podcast. Our podcast will always remain free, but we're trying to have some more exclusive stuff for our Patreon page to encourage some subscribers there. Support us if you can. Patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils.
We got a lot going on, sir. Pretty excited about that new logo.
Yeah, no, it's fire. We'll be dropping that as well. I think we can improve on our last logos.
Baby steps, one step at a time.
Hey, you know, we gotta be innovating as we go. Also, check out our website, www.AmericanRedDevils.com. We have amazing fan contributors. If you don't like Patreon, some people don't like that model. You would just like to buy the merch directly from our store. Another way to support the podcast. If you don't want to part with some cold hard cash, drop a review on iTunes, 5 stars. We're sending free stickers. Just email us at AmericanRedDevils@gmail.com. We will shoot you a sticker. That is it, sir. That's the PSA for the pod. I know a long one, but again, check out our Patreon page. Let us know what you think.
Let us know what you think. So are you ready to break down this match? Instant classic at Old Trafford?
I am. I am. I'm just sick of all the whinging, sir. I know we got that soundboard there. There's a lot of whinging going on.
Your lips are moving and you're complaining about something. That's whinging.
Just in case our fans don't know what whinging is, sir. You're just educating them.
No, it's just there's some Some fans who should not be named out there on the internet machine, and look, there's plenty of room for everyone to put out their opinion, but, you know, just like you can't cheer United on, win an RB's Leipzig, and then like hate Paul Pogba and hate Ole Gunnar Solskjaer 4 days later. It's that to me is like we just like to say on the pod, a little much. That's a little much.
You can't have it both ways. It's like you can't have your cake and eat it too. It's like you're going to have the highs, you're going to have the lows. This is an inexperienced coach learning on the job. We got to support our players. It's like we're 15th. So it's the game week six, sir. We got a lot of games to go. We're basically 20% of the way into the season. A ton of season left to go. So let's just all chill out. It's not how you start, it's how you finish.
And we knew it's just like if you could go back in time and look at the fixtures. Right, you'd be like, there's no way we're beating PSG. RB Leipzig is a coin flip, and then obviously, so it's kind of like the problem for Ole Gunnar Solskjaer is, as a manager, if I was managing Manchester United, I would know that I could crash out of the group in the Champions League as long as I was like third in the league. It wouldn't matter, you know. Your bread is buttered. It's like kind of like where you get paid is on where you finish in the Premier League, and there's no way that you can be losing. Not doing as well as we are right now without getting a lot of criticism. So I understand there's outrage, but it's kind of the every week playing Champions League and then the league is kind of creating just like this schizophrenic up and down a little bit. There's a lot of volatility here as a United fan.
Well, there is a consistency issue. We do go from sometimes playing like lights out to playing like shit. So there is that. But there's also like we need to have some context. We need to not forget that we did just smoke the Champions League semifinalists from last year 5-0 at home. I'm just like wiggity wiggity whack, nothing there. And then all of a sudden you lose flat to Arsenal. You didn't create much, but they didn't smoke you. You know, so it's like we got to calm down a little bit. Didn't go our day, but we weren't played off the park. We just like I don't think the boys showed up. I don't think the manager got it right, and we can't lose our nerve like we're a bunch of Arsenal fans because that's what they do. They act like they just won the league and they're like contenders now because they beat us because they shut down Paul Pogba and Bruno Fernandes with their new signing Thomas Partey. Good signing. He did do that. Midfield was good, but we need to all just calm the hell down. There's a lot of games left. And Ole deserves a little credit. There's a little time. Finished third last season. We can't forget that.
No, I totally agree, sir. Let's jump into this match, shall we? Should we break it down?
Break it down. Give us that lineup, sir.
Look, number one, Dave Says in net. Wan-Bissaka, Lindelof, Maguire, Shaw, McTominay, Fred, Pogba, Bruno, Greenwood, and Rashford up top. Sir, you called the lineup, not exactly the formation, although Ole did switch to it with Pogba on the wing, as crazy as that sounds. I swear to God McTominay's playing the holding midfield role in this when I saw this. Fred and Pogba played great in the two. Bruno in the 10, that's a no-brainer. McTominay has to be the anchor. And instead, Fred was the anchor. I couldn't believe it when I saw it.
Yeah, I mean, something had to change early in that game. It's not like we were getting peppered by chances, but the fact is, like, it was all getting shut down in the midfield. They were pressing us so high. We couldn't play out the back. And every time they tried to get the ball to Fred at the anchor and move it through the lines, he had to go back or wide. And it just like it wasn't working. So, I thought Bruno would have dropped more. He did a little bit, but it wasn't great in the first half.
No, yeah. Pogba and Bruno were wide. McTominay came deep. It was almost like a weird 4-4-2, which allowed way too much space for our – we invited them pretty much into our half on the midway line. They had a lot of space to pass it around going wide. Pogba wasn't disciplined as far as covering. It was bad. It was just a bad look. I thought it'd be switched, similar to Chelsea in the first 20 minutes, like switch to the 4-2-3-1. Ole was not inclined to do so, which I thought was strange because like 20 minutes in, it wasn't working. Sir, we got a comment on Peacock. You know, before we get into the actual game, I have so much complaints about this whole thing. It's like, first of all, I got to just check every single week what's going on with NBC, and it's not really anywhere convenient. Then you sign on to Peacock, like, 20 minutes before the game. You think you're going to get the pregame. There's nothing. Sir, it barely starts on time. Then you have to figure out – so if I want to watch the pregame, I got to turn into the cable channel. Then I got to switch to Peacock, which is a completely different app, and that's the total racket. And then, sir, it wasn't even on Telemundo because they know that you and me are switching to Telemundo instead of watching it on Peacock, so not even showing it on Telemundo anymore. What is going on with this whole setup? It clearly isn't working. It's just like – it's just a cash grab. How much is Peacock? $5 a month? I mean, just take my money. Just put on TV.
I mean, we already pay for cable. We already pay for internet. It's really sad because it's like the marquee game of the weekend. Manchester United versus Arsenal, and they're playing the Newcastle game on TV, and you have to like log in to Peacock.com, pay for it. It's criminal. It's like there's so much money in the game. There's so much money to be had. You do not need to nickel and dime fans this way.
Well, this is the one thing. When you talk about like big companies like NBC buying rights to the Premier League for hundreds of millions of dollars in the United States, and then you throw the Peacock wrench into it, like I would say NBC's done a good job. I think that maybe the pundits aren't great, but everyone's always going to complain about punditry, right, at a certain point. But NBC did a really good job. And then clearly someone else in a different department, NBC, is like, yeah, you're going to be on Peacock. And they haven't done that right. So they CBS All Access, all these streaming platforms haven't sorted it. It's clearly a cash grab first, then deal with it. I think there's lots to improve upon at the moment, even from a commentary perspective, sir. I mean, the commentary in this game, Arlo White wasn't even on it. I don't know who they were, but it was terrible. They're like Arsenal. Just peppering United, deserve everything about it. It was like,
I've gotten worse, right? Like, it's not just us. Right? They've actually gotten worse. Like, it feels like we've gotten like noticeably poorer at their jobs.
Why can't I get Sky Sports? I mean, like, what do I need to do? Can somebody tweet me what I need to do to get Sky Sports in the United States?
You got to pay a lot of money, sir. You got to like pay for a satellite dish. You're not getting it. You're not getting it. Stuck with Peacock.
Supporters on Patreon so we can get a satellite dish so we don't have to deal with Peacock.
Yeah, right. Peacock it is. All right, so jumping into that first half, United, we said it, they came out flat. We were basically content to sit back with Arsenal play in the high press, but Arsenal weren't doing that much to begin with either, sir. First real chance, 21st minute, Greenwood forced Leno into a nice save. Rashford found him with a nice pass out in the open. Should have probably cut back and then, you know, either foot. Mason Greenwood's clinical, but really just kind of forced it in a tight angle. Probably the best chance of the half for United.
I would say totally best chance of the half. And this was kind of – when you talk about Ole playing cautious, he's okay with playing the first 20 minutes like we did just to try to pip him. You know, he's trying to be really – not give anything up at the back, but it has nullified our attack. And I think that's really the problem where you Manchester United fans, and I hope Manchester United players are brave. They want to take it to Arsenal. Let the players make the plays, sir.
No, indeed. And they were there to be had. It was just like we couldn't get the balls to the attackers out in space. And it was just it was kind of very frustrating because you could see that they were vulnerable out and open, out for pace with Rashford and Greenwood, and just wasn't enough of that.
So, I defer to that Mourinho quote that says, you know, the entire game in the first 15 minutes, you can read an entire game in the first 15. And this one you could as well.
Yeah. Yeah. It was going to go down to chances, sir. This is a light on detail in the first half, 37th minute. Lindelof actually gets an important touch in, denying Lacazette a clear attempt on target. He had like a big old whiff, but that was because Lindelof put a nice challenge in towards the end of the first half. And then right before, in 39th minute, Willian actually hit the bar after some lazy defending from Lindelof. Kind of like floated it out there, hits the bar. I don't know. Wasn't really a chance for Arsenal, but it went close.
Yeah, but according to the commentary, Arsenal's playing us off the park. I don't know how that is, but, you know, top passing combinations was the classic Fred to Lindelof. You know, we didn't really see anything materializing up front. It was hard to play around the press. Ole, tactically, you watch that first 20 minutes, you got to change to the 4-2-3-1, put Pogba on the wing. So, you know, I just think you got to be playing EPL different than you play Europe. That's the thing. You can't use something as RB and then bring it back here against Arsenal. Maybe we teased that. It might have been a good idea, but it just wasn't on from the jump.
Yeah, I think we gave – I think you said this earlier, sir. I think we gave Arsenal too much respect. You know, I think we just needed to go at it. Go at them, like, go for it. Go guns blazing, try and score goals. So what – you know, if you're Ole, what were you saying to the boys going into halftime?
I think he needed to make the move to the 4-2-3-1. And if you didn't want to make a sub, you put Pogba on the wing. He ended up doing that. I think he threatened with the subs right away. So clearly Ole, you know, shots fired. And in the second half, United came out better. So, you know, I think Ole made the right change. You could argue he could have done it earlier.
No doubt. And like you said, United did come out with more purpose in the second half. It didn't really last long because United, they switched the 4-2-3-1, but not a lot came of it. Actually, in the 52nd minute, it was a good chance for Arsenal after Fred gave away the ball. But Aubameyang goes wide, sir. And then,
This is why you have to have Matic, because basically Fred gets kind of – he gets in an attacking position but then forgets he's kind of the last midfielder back, and then he kind of makes an errant pass to Paul Pogba that wasn't on, right? So a Matic probably would have done that little twirl move, look something off. You know, Fred, I guess his awareness wasn't there, and he was giving the ball away in poor positions too easily. You know, that's what Matic does good. You know, he does not – give the ball away when he's in that position. Because if you do, you're going to give away a goal-scoring opportunity.
No, I think he shows that maturity for sure. And then the 55th minute, weren't a lot of chances. Maguire sends a looping header. It was more of a half chance from a free kick, just going wide. But you'd like to see Harry doing more of the ball.
Maguire, that's on target. It's in. Maguire, dude, it's like these headers. He needs to get arrested in Greece again to get another header goal. You know, that's what I think.
Maybe that's what it is, sir. And then speaking of sub, 62nd minute, Matic did come on for Fred. Didn't change that much for United.
I thought we looked better. I thought we looked better with Matic. You know, before the look, we had a good 10 minutes after half. Then it kind of faded. Arsenal had the ball, but nothing doing. You know, that's the one thing you have to remember. Yeah. The announcers are like, oh, they deserve the penalty. It's like they passed it around. There's nothing in the final third, nothing in the box.
I mean, I would have yanked Paul Pogba because he looked haggard. He looked beat. I would put Donny van de Beek.
Donny can't play left wing, you know.
But he could play up in the front. He can play anywhere. You can switch it around if you have to. But either way, he had like the work rate that Paul Pogba in the 68th minute, sir.
Clever run from Bearing now. Pogba committed, and Mike Dean has awarded a penalty. Pogba's indiscretion. Bearing felt it and fell, and running the risk of making contact with Bearing. And he did just that. He just caught him on the foot, and Bearing takes a step and then decides to go down because he felt the contact. And that's a common practice now these days. Nerve, poise, a sense of what must be. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang slams it past De Gea, and the Gunners have a rare Old Trafford lead.
I mean, that is a chump team. They're just like, watching them celebrate and dance. I was like, if there any hope in this game is that they dance like such a bunch of idiots at our stadium, wasn't be had, but sir. How'd you feel after that penalty went in?
When it's not your day, it's not your day, you know? And, you know, we pray to the VAR gods, we pray to the footballing gods, and sometimes, you know, you hit the post, it doesn't go in, and then they get a soft penalty. This is as soft as you're going to get. I didn't see a replay angle where Pogba got more than a half an inch of Bellerin. I mean, we're talking nothing. Bellerin, if you watch the slow-mo, didn't affect him at all, but he dove. I think the game needs to fix this. That should have been a dive. It reminds me of that Bruno penalty. Was it against Chelsea or Leicester where it was kind of like a coming together of the foot? Maybe he got his toe and he went down hard. You know, we've gotten penalties like this. I don't like this in the game. This is as soft as it could ever be, you know, sir. It's like touching a fly in the box. Is a pen? Really? I mean, you got to play a little harder than that.
I mean, we've gotten some soft pens, but this is a soft pen. But this is also like I've seen Paul Pogba give away that penalty before. Like he should not, you know, he should know better than because he knows you got to know that an Arsenal player in the box is going to go down. Any player really now in the United in the Premier League is going to go down like a sack of potatoes because everyone just like dives like because they get rewarded and we get a lot of penalties around the league. So he's got to know better because he has given up that penalty at United within the last 12 months. The same penalty, like he should, you know. Sloppy tackle. You can't do it.
Yeah. I like Paul Pogba. You know, I like him in this team. And, you know, I think he played great in the diamond against RB Leipzig. I think he's he gave Greenwood that first goal. I think we're better with him. Unfortunately, penalties he's given up and then, you know, bad giveaways that have led directly to goals. I mean, counting six or seven in the last year. Maybe that's high. Maybe it's four or five. There's a lot of these errors that Paul Pogba makes that directly contribute to us dropping points. And I think that's maybe why he gets a lot of criticism. This was sloppy. This is as sloppy as you get. There was nothing really dangerous about where Bellerin was. I mean, he was in the box, but I didn't really see anything. And it was a rash challenge. So decision-making from Paul Pogba has to improve in that area. But I don't think it's going to. You know, it doesn't seem like he's learning.
Well, he needs to get, you know, the Wayne Rooney treatment, which is every once in a while when he's not playing well, you gotta get his ass dumped onto the bench. And I think it tends to light a spark under him. Today, you could tell he was just like kind of haggard and needed to be taken off, you know, because he just looked like it was vulnerable to giving up a chance like this. But what bothers me, sir, is 74th minute. Because what's fair is fair. Is Gabriel fouls Greenwood. He like dinks him, literally pulls him, and then hucks him down with a leg. That it has to be a second yellow. It's just like, I'm not going to win. It's annoying just to talk about it this much, but it's what's fair is fair. They're going to give him that penalty. He's got to be sent off. I'm not saying we're going to come back and win the game, but he deserves a red.
Yeah, but the thing is, it's Mike Dean. So as soon as I saw Mike Dean was refereeing, I think I tweeted it out. You know, it's I don't like Mike Dean. He doesn't like Manchester United. It's there's always going to be a bias in it. And like you said, Greenwood, man on man, beat him on the line. Could lead to a goal scoring opportunity, right? I think he was pretty much free on net, could have squared it. And he dragged him down from behind. And he's on a yellow card. That is a red every single goddamn day. There's no excuse for it. But when I like, it's just not your day, right? So what are you going to do? Get more angry? I've been watching football enough where I know it's just not your day, and I was prepared for Donnie to come on and hit the post. You know, that's the type of day we're going to have.
You didn't even get that. I mean, the sub came on right after the 75th minute. You did it the year. Actually, you're right. Yeah. Arsenal player hit the post. Oh, I mean, the 85th minute. Well, let's get there. 75th minute, double sub. Donnie and Cavani came on for Greenwood and Bruno. What did you think about Bruno coming off?
Bruno did look haggard, dude. If you actually watched him before the sub, he was walking. He looked really exhausted. I don't think this was an indictment against Bruno. I just think he's really tired, honestly. The Cavani one, you know, sir, number seven, sir. Roy Keane, I think, said it in the post game. You look at Cavani warming up, he doesn't lift a leg. You know, it's like you're going to come on the field ready to go. Keane already taking shots at Cavani.
Unfair. He didn't lift a leg? Is that true? I mean, when you see Donny van de Beek bake warming up, he's always like high energy warm-ups. But Cavani was chilling.
I'm just saying, Keane was slating Cavani's warm-up. I couldn't see it. Obviously, he's in the stadium. He can kind of see it. That doesn't matter, but we weren't going to get that goal. I did like it when he came on. He was cheering the lads on. I like you said, I do rate Cavani. I just didn't think he's going to make an impact. I never felt like we were going to score, especially with Luke Shaw on the crosses. A lot of bad corners, a lot of targets to hit. I mean, and Luke Shaw, like that, we missed that Telus. Like, think of the Telus going down. We had a lot of good dangerous set pieces, a lot of corners, free kicks, and Luke Shaw's service was not on. We didn't beat the first man twice. You know, that's something that if you have a player like Cavani, you got Maguire. You know, these are targets.
I totally agree. No, we did. Everything was a little sloppy. We were just off. We didn't get the ball. You know, the delivery into the box wasn't good. Shaw had a couple of crosses, but they faded in the second half. We didn't really have a lot of good chances at all. The 85th minute, the one you're talking about hitting the post, bounced off an Arsenal player after some nice play from Donny.
Leno's head, and then went off the post. I mean, this was unlucky. If it doesn't hit Leno's head, it's going in the net, and then it hits his head, and then redirects off the post. Donny, instant impact. I actually thought we did fight for the last 10 minutes of the match. There's some positives. I mean, like, yeah, we didn't get the 3 points. That's the game. But, you know, there were some positives. We showed some fight in the beginning of the second half. We showed some fight at the end of the game. I think Ole made the changes he needed to make. The question is, should he have done it sooner? And at the end of the day, Arsenal end up stealing one. They got the penalty, which was just a terrible error from Paul Pogba. So I think it looks and sounds worse than it was. It was just a tough day at the office. No matter what we did, we weren't going to win this game. Mike Dean, that's a tough hill to climb. Like you said, double yellow, but sometimes it's not your day.
Some of the passing is fucking scratchy.
I mean, you got to say that about the game. It certainly was scratchy all day. It was sloppy, but you're right. It was like, this is kind of like the 6-1 game with Spurs. It's like, you read into it, it looks damning, 1-0, United didn't create enough, Arsenal didn't create anything. But you move on from it, and you just like, don't make a big deal out of it, don't make the end of the world out of it, like Arsenal's making, you know, they seem to be really excited about it. But we need to just press on from here, we need to go and lock up the group with a big win in Istanbul, and then Everton, boogeyman, that's a huge win, that's a huge game, you know, they've lost 2 games in a row, they're going to want a big performance against United, they always, you know, usually give us points, but I think they want to change that, sir.
Sir, this will be assuming we win against Istanbul, right? You say 5 matches since that 6-1 against Tottenham. We beat PSG, we beat RB Leipzig, we beat Istanbul, we drew Chelsea, and we lost Arsenal at home. If you were to tell us that with those 5 matches that we would be 3-1-1, I think every United fan would take it. The only problem is that our form in the league is abysmal. So you have to kind of write off Crystal Palace and Tottenham because, look, we didn't have a preseason. Then we come back, and we actually are in good form. So it's not as bad as what the fans on Twitter say it is. It's never as bad as that. Now, if Ole goes streaky the other way, we lose to Istanbul, we lose to Everton, you know, then you could get to kind of where we are now. I just think this is an overreaction. The next 2 games are big. I have confidence in this team. We'll do the job at Istanbul, and I think Everton are on the downslide. There's a lot of injuries, and we should be bossing Everton. Like, you can't make excuses against Everton, right? Hey. You can off day against Arsenal, but you got to be beating Everton.
No, we do, even though they're on the up and up. But I agree. And it's like you have to look at what was the issues at the beginning of the season in the Premier League. We were leaking goals, leaking chances. That has shut down. You know, maybe exactly. The offense isn't as potent as we had seen at the end of last year, and we're not just like pouring goals into that front three. But we're not leaking them at the back, right? Like, they got one shot on target, which was a boot outside the box from Partey. Other than that, was the penalty. That was it. And we weren't creating chances for fun, but like, we are figuring out the defense. So that's something positive.
Yeah. No, and it's a long season. Just let everyone know. Yeah.
You're telling me, sir. It is.
We have a friend who's an Everton fan. Boy, did they think they won the league. That's the way it goes. Match reaction stats. Manchester United, 54% of the ball to Arsenal's 46. Shots on target. We had 2. They had 1. Sir, corners, we had 6, they had 3. You look at the stats, you look at the XG. Other than the penalty is the difference. And again, a bad decision by Paul Pogba. We should have scored, sir. I honestly think it should have been 1-1. That was probably the result. Unlucky. United have taken just 7 points from their 6 Premier League games this season, their lowest tally at this stage since David Moyes. That's genius, his short stint at the helm in 13-14. A campaign in which they went on to finish 7th. Look, not a great I hate this having to come from behind bullshit. You know, like, it's just – it really does suck, sir. I have a feeling all the rest of these little anecdotes are not going to be fun either. United have failed to win any of their opening four top-flight games at Old Trafford for the first time since 72-73. Campaign in which we finished 18th and were relegated. Indeed. So that's not good.
Nope, it's not good. When you lose a game, the stats are not usually very favorable.
United conceded 5 penalties in their past 7 Premier League home games. The previous 5 penalties they had conceded at Old Trafford in the competition came over a period of 101 games. So again, poor there. And Pogba has conceded 3 penalties in the Premier League under Solskjaer. See, that's what I was saying. I said, what did I say, 4-5? And he had that one giveaway, probably one or two bad giveaways, sir. So Pogba... You know, the highs are high and the lows are low for Paul Pogba as well. But I'd rather be talking about him scoring goals. But what do we know, sir? We're just fans on the couch moaning. Let's hear what Ole Gunnar Solskjaer had to say.
Okay, the manager said to take your questions. If you'd like to raise your hand, we will come to you. We'll start with Simon Peach.
Hi, Ollie. Bit of a come down from the other night. What?
Say that again. The feedback. I couldn't hear you.
Sorry, it was a bit of a come down from the other night. I was just wondering what went wrong in your mind today.
Well, that's football for you. It's not like you can. It's like you turn on a tap and it comes flowing. We didn't perform well enough, especially first half. I felt we were a bit passive. Couldn't get the intensity and tempo in our game, and it was a 0-0 written all over it. I don't think any of the teams deserve to win.
Simon's down.
Sorry, Ollie. Paul Pogba has said his tackle was stupid. Would you go along with that?
Paul knows that if he stays on his feet and just shuffles the boy, because he was on his way out of the box, so it's a soft penalty to give away. But that those things happen. I know it didn't touch him a lot, but it's enough to give a penalty. And unfortunately, that went against us. And Paul's held his hand up, and he knows that he could and should have done better in that instance. So that was the difference of the team today. Always looked like a 0-0 for me.
Always looked like a 0-0 to me. I think that's about right.
Yeah, I mean, it did look like a 0-0, but again, that's not good either. You know, like, even 0-0, people are going to be coming for Ole's head. You know, I really think that, you know, we need a win in the league to kind of, like, Ole seems to me like he's just got, he's got these haters, man. He's got this, like, you know, people are rooting against him. I think there's a lot of media, a lot of big social media that are rooting against Ole Gunnar Solskjaer for whatever reason. And like you said, everyone thinks Pochettino is like the main man. I like, be careful what you wish for. I mean, like, why root against the manager of Manchester United ever? You know, in my opinion, I think you should just like let it play out. And obviously, it's Ed Woodward's decision at the end of the day, which, you know, fuck me, right?
Well, I think the big thing is that people are always rooting against Manchester United because we're Manchester United, baby, and we're like the storybook team.
The fans should support the team. It's almost like they're excited to like dig into them. If it was 0-0, we still see the same thing. And at the end of the day, it's like, you got to look. There's never been this many matches played. This look at Arsenal, Chelsea, PSG, RB Leipzig. Are you kidding me? With no break, nothing. And like Ole's fault is he hasn't rotated enough.
Yeah.
In my opinion. Like, where's Dan James?
Where's Mata? I got to use a Mata today. I think Mata would have been great today.
No, totally. But the problem is we were defending. We weren't going at him. And I think that, like, why are Fred McTominay undroppable? So look, Ole hasn't made the right decisions, but this isn't an easy, even like Sir Alex, you know, would have trouble with this, this run of matches. It's just unbelievable. I mean, I think that's what Ole should be blaming, and the press should be talking about this unprecedented, we don't have enough subs, etc. That's probably where you go. But I would rather him rotate a little more, because I think that's what we need right now. Where's Agallo at?
Agallo is never going to play again, bro. I don't think. Not for United. It doesn't look like it. He never got a signings. He never got a preseason. It's like, you go on and on. And at the end of the day, it's like, it's not the end of the world. We lost the Gunners. We know it's a poor Gunner side. We know we should be winning. But we're only as good as our next game. And let's move on to the next one, because that's what it's all about. But we do have a hot take from Caleb, American Red Devil fan and contributor for the blog. Let's see what Caleb had to say.
Well, boys, two individuals deserve blame for today's absolute fucking disaster of a football match. Those two people are Paul Pogba and Ole. Terrible substitutions. I mean, I don't understand how anybody could defend the work that he did today. As far as Paul Pogba, just... I mean, I don't see any particular reason as to why he should be starting football matches right now. He just is not playing well. We need to move him. The amount of money that he's worth is just sinking and sinking and sinking. I don't have anything else to say. I mean, this was just an absolute shit show.
There you go. That's a hot take from Caleb. Calling out Paul P. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of blame to go around. I'm not sure I would point at Paul Pogba. It wasn't his day, but there are a lot of players who wasn't quite their day. So I think we just move on to the next one.
No, look, who gets blamed for this? It's like it's fair to blame Paul Pogba. It's fair to blame Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. To say that Paul Pogba shouldn't play for United, that's probably too far. To say Ole should lose his job, that's probably too far. You know, so it's like, it's just been a rough start to the campaign, and in a time like we have, like an unprecedented season, like a lot of teams are having a tough time. Look, in fairness to the Roy Keane segment, sir, when Keno speaks, we listen. I have a few quotes from him. Quote, can I ask you one question? How many league games have Arsenal lost this season? All of a sudden, Arsenal are the new Bayern Munich. Do me a favor.
It's true, dude. It's true. It's like they've been so shit all season, and all of a sudden they're like the greatest team in the league.
Sir, they're playing on Thursday nights.
Yeah. Which they didn't mention, by the way. They're like, oh, both teams are coming off strong defeats in Europe. It's like, no. We're playing in Europe, bro. They're playing in the Europa League.
it's unbelievable. And he also goes on to say, he didn't see any leaders out there. That's a real worry for Manchester United. He said, Ole's going to lose his job with these players. He blames the players for not being motivated. He says the body language of Marcus Rashford is poor. He said the body language around the pitch is poor from United. And he also says it's not the manager's responsibility to motivate the players for a match. They should be motivating themselves. Interesting take from Roy Keane, pretty harsh all around. But he feels for Ole because if you look at it, it's like, did the players show up in the first half? Did they do their jobs? I don't think so, sir. I really don't think so.
I wouldn't even let them on the bus after the match. Get a taxi back to Manchester.
Some of those players might be taking a taxi. I mean, it was a little bit lack of heart, the lack of effort. I think maybe it's because you're sticking with the same lineup too much. Maybe he needs to freshen it up. Maybe some players are feeling complacent. I don't know what it is. Maybe we're reading too much into it. But
sir, it's soft. It's soft mentality. It's soft. It was soft from United. That's not the way. Dude, if you want to win the league, it's going to take blood, sweat, and tears. It's going to take everything you got. It's going to take every single thing. And you can't win at RB Leipzig and just be like, oh, everything's great, and then just come at Arsenal and like think you're going to blow them out. Something about that mentality. How was Sir Alex able to win? Sir, have you ever won the treble like Gary Neville? Sir, it's in order to do it, you got to be ruthless. We're not ruthless.
Certainly not. But there's always a next match.
Music, the Arsenal defeat, it's gone, sir. I'm happy again. Istanbul, Başakşehir versus Manchester United at the Başakşehir Faith Terim Stadium in Istanbul, sir. Wednesday, November 4th, it goes down 9:55 a.m. Pacific time. I can't wait. Time to go top of the group one more time, sir. 9 points is what we need. I think Ole can rotate. We can win easy, sir. The weight of the world is off my shoulders hearing that music.
I tell you what, never hurts to hear it on a Sunday. Never hurts to hear it after a tough loss. Looking forward to a big win in Istanbul. This is important that we go there and we don't drop an opportunity to lock up the group. If we get a draw or, God forbid, a loss, that would really turn sentiment even worse. So I think we go in there, make a lot of subs, but even with a Mata and a Cavani, we should be able to put some goals behind this Istanbul side.
Totally agree. I think you said it right there. Cavani. He's got Cavani written all over this game. Get him that goal. Number Woo! 7. Dude, get fly Falcao in as well. Why not? let's have a party in Istanbul. Look, we've never played Istanbul before. You're witnessing history. First match between these two teams. PSG did kind of struggle. They scored in the 70th minute with Keane. Anytime you're traveling that far, sir, it's going to have an effect. This isn't a guaranteed 3, but it should be for us. If we draw or anything like that, people will be asking questions and the group will be wide open. We need to be winning 3 points here. It's almost a must win. Istanbul lost their opening 2 matches of the group. Not really a big surprise. And they've also lost 4 of their last 6 heading into the match. Right for the picking, sir. And Istanbul, Başakşehir Football Kulübü, is a Turkish professional football club based in Başakşehir district of Istanbul. I'm trying, sir.
Keep going, sir.
I'm just gonna power through. You're trolling me with this here.
I never would do such a thing.
You love it. You love that. I'm gonna read this.
Sorry, I know you speak a lot of Turkish.
Sir, there's a lot of symbols in here as well. I don't know how to pronounce. The club is better known as Istanbul Başakşehir due to sponsorship Metropol Başakşehir. Thanks for that one. The club was founded in 1990 as Istanbul Bakashehir Balai Dubaspor. Istanbul Metropolitan Municipal League. Dude, you're killing me, sir.
Oh, God.
You're trolling. This is a straight troll. This is a troll. They were founded in 1990. A little history in 1990. The first McDonald's in Moscow, Russia opens. So that was interesting. McDonald's in Moscow.
Big deal. Huge lines at the first McDonald's in Russia.
Yeah, you get the Royale with cheese. Nelson Mandela is released from prison near Cape Town, South Africa, after 27 years behind bars. That's a big monument. And the first ban of smoking in bars in the U.S. and possibly the world was in San Luis Obispo, California. And now I don't think you can smoke in any bars, or a lot of them.
Maybe in Istanbul. Maybe in Istanbul you can still smoke.
I think you can, sir. You know, careful, Istanbul. But again, another early, a little more history than RB, but still 1990.
Young team. But you know, it's a long trip, long flight. I would imagine normally if the stadium was packed, it would be a formidable place to play, but we got to be doing the business. You're right. PSG did not look great against them. So I think the key is just don't underestimate them. They got Raphael, sir.
Moscow Mickey D's FC, bro. That's where
there you go, baby. Moscow Mickey D's.
They first reached the highest level of Turkish football in 07-08, and they played their home games at the Faith Terim Stadium in Istanbul and are owned by the Ministry of Youth and Sports, sir.
Sounds good.
Everyone knows the Ministry of Youth and Sports. Big deal. In 17-18 season, they reached the playoff round of the UEFA Champions League qualifying, and they won their first top-flight title in the 19-20 season. So it sounds like they found in 1990, and they came up, and they're doing well. So you got to root for that, you know, any football team that kind of rises up and stays there. Physioroom.com, quick injuries on United. Phil Jones, he's having a cup of tea with Eddie Woodward. Bye, he is still out. Potential return maybe mid to late November. Martial, he is back, right? Finally. Obviously, he's fine for UCL. I believe he's back for Everton as well, which we'll get to on the next podcast. Jesse Lingard, he's out hopefully early November. And tell us as well, no return date because of the COVID-19. Wishing him a speedy recovery. We're got not too many injuries here, sir. So, you know, given you know about Mickey D's, you know the injuries. What's your lineup?
So this is who I got for my starting 11 against Istanbul. I'm going to have Dino in net. It's his time to shine. I'm going to do a back four, Brandon Williams, Twan Zabi, Maguire, and Timothy Fosu-Mensah, and then Fred McTominay and Donny, and then a front three of Martial, Mata, and Cavani.
Who you got? Is that a 4-2-3-1?
Sure, 4-2-3-1.
Sounded very confident.
Finally. Depends. They might start 4-2-3-1, 4-3-3. They'll switch it around. Sure. You know.
Sorry, we need to add the who wants to be a millionaire, final answer on the soundboard there. Seriously. Is that your final answer? Yeah. You sound real confident about that.
Final answer.
I'm saying Dave says world number one. Why would you drop the hay? What are you? What you smoking, sir? Brandon Williams, Twan Zabi, Lindelof, Shaw. Matic, McTominay, Donny. So we're going to do the 4-2 with Matic, McTominay, then Donny at number 10, Martial, number 9. We do Rashford on the left, James on the right. Dan James, where's Dan James been?
Good question. Could he use his pace today, I think, against a weak Arsenal side?
It's almost like always playing like we got phantom injuries. Booking the bookies, United heavy favorites here, -260 to win, the draw +400. Istanbul to win +650 to score first, sir. Manchester United, Tony Martial, Edison Cavani, and Ighalo all +370. Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford +390. Greenwood +480. Van de Beek, 800. Sir, you know who they got on the other team?
I didn't know they had Demba Ba, by the way. Because he's the top of their...
Demba Ba, sir. That's all I got to say. Remember when Steven Gerrard slipped?
Oh, yes. Gave it
to Demba Ba. They got him. So let's hope we don't slip in the back line because Demba Ba knows how to pick him up. He's loving life in Istanbul.
He must be. I like that Donny van de Beek at +800. I think he's going to start and I think he's going to score.
There you go, sir. What is your score prediction? You know how the bookies have it.
I'm calling 2-0. You know, it's not going to be easy, but we're going to go down to Istanbul and get a result. What do you got?
I'm going to say 3-1. Ole's got a lot of rotation. I think we'll concede, but obviously batter him, sir. I'm always predicting 3, 4, or 5 goals from United. I believe. I got the mentality as a fan, sir. You want to hear it? You want to hear a fact about the game against Arsenal?
Give it to me.
I stood the entire second half, sir, cheering the lads.
Good for you, sir. Good for you.
I was like, something's got to change. I stood up the entire second half.
I feel bad. I feel bad for your new neighbor, sir. This guy's moving. He's gonna have new neighbors. I hope they're not too close.
All I gotta say is that if you were there and you were on vacay, hanging out while I'm working here, working for the pod, I'm standing up for the team, sir. You would have told me to sit down.
Sir, all I know is I think other fathers, mothers listen to the pod will appreciate this. I didn't realize that if you take your kid on vacation, it's not vacation. It's just change of scenery, bro. I was like, no vacation. I should have stayed home. Sir!
That's the news! Tough news this week. Naby Styles, former Manchester United, England World Cup winner, dies at the age of 78. The toothless, tiger, basically. You know, Naby Styles, Manchester United legend and England defender, crunching challenges. You know, the old English football, he played it and unfortunately passed away at the age of 78. There's a tribute going on this week in the English Premier League. And big one, sir. Big one. Naby Styles. Rest in peace.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. The news this week is a little morbid. And it starts with this one. Naby Styles, 78. Decently robust age, but, you know, we feel for his family. Sad to have him go. A legend for United, a legend for England, just like an absolute beast on the field. If you see some of the photos from us lifting the Champions League title against Benfica, him with no teeth, holding up the silverware is just like pretty special. So look that up. A legend in his time. He will be missed. Sad day for football, sir.
Yeah, but told you what kind of lad he was. No teeth, going in hard challenges, sir. Two-footed against Eusebio in the World Cup for England. That grit, that English grit. The game was played differently back then, and he was just all in, baby. And that's what you like. That's what you like to see.
United legend through and through. I think that if he played in the modern era, he would have gotten sent off quite a bit.
Well, you know, what's really funny, you know, speaking of that, the whole Arsenal United, it's like, you know, Bellerin goes down because like a butterfly fluttered near his ear. And Roy Keane, I mean, look, if you go back 15 years, sir, look at those challenges in those games. And today that'd be a straight red, you know.
I know. Some of that Keane, Vieira, Cohen nonsense, they would be a lot of red cards. The fact that today, you know, that's not even sent off. But Roy Keane, Arsenal games used to be a different level, sir, of just fired up.
I think the game in England should be a little more physical. I really do think that they're kind of letting, as I've watched for over, you know, 15 years, they're letting it get a little soft. Well, it's a little soft.
It's going the way of the NFL, right, where they're like, they started protecting the quarterbacks at all costs, and now they're starting to protect, like, some of the star players, because I think they're giving cards more freely and they're giving reds more freely because they want to protect the players. But also, they've also shown that you get rewarded by like play acting, right? The league is also becoming harder and it's becoming softer, right? It's like there's a lot more diving than there used to be, I feel.
Yeah, we need the retrospective diving yellows, right? You basically need to say, like, hey, if you get caught diving, we'll give you yellow. Every match will be looked at, and for anyone who died, you know, you need something like that. And that could easily be done, similar like the goalies off the line they're doing with Vieira. They could do the post-game yellows for diving. Next bit of news here, very sad. England and Manchester United legend Sir Bobby Charlton diagnosed with dementia. Per The Guardian, his wife allowed this news to be released. Essentially, widely considered to be England's greatest ever footballer. Obviously, he was Manchester United's leading scorer before Wayne Rooney broke his record. Sir, you know, he famously lifted that European Cup in 1968 with Naby Styles. You know, tough as nails. They don't make him anymore. One of the original Sirs, you know, along with Sir Matt Busby, Sir Bobby Charlton, they don't make him like him anymore. And it's just tragic to see, you know, this announcement.
It is, and it's, yeah, it's like I said, we got some shit news tonight, and it followed the Styles passing away and then hearing that Charlton has dementia after his brother passed earlier the year. It's just sad for the family. If you know anyone that's dealt with that disease, it's not a fun one. So we're sending our best to the Charlton crew. Hopefully we get to see him back at Old Trafford with fans and him with his wife sometime soon. But, you know, us at the American Devils are sending our best to the Charlton family.
It's awesome prayers to the Charlton family. Next bit of news here, sir. This one's for you. You can mention this.
Well, I mean, more morbid news. Sean Connery passed away. Famous Scotsman, but I wanted to lighten things up a little bit, even though he died, which is not really lightening things up, but he was famously offered a contract by Matt Busby back in the day to play for the Busby Babes, $25 a week. But Sean Connery realized it wasn't the right move. He said, quote, but I realized, he said, no, quote, I really wanted to accept because I love football, but I realized top-class footballer would be over the hill by the age of 30, and I was already 23, decided to become an actor. It turned out to be one of the more intelligent moves. The Scot, unfortunately, passed away this week. I was a big fan of him, huge fan of The Rock. A lot of good movies that Sean Connery was in through the day, through the years. But could have been a Red. Ended up being, you know, Bond, sir, James Bond.
Yeah, I actually had no idea that Sean Connery was almost a Manchester United player. Makes sense, you know. It's kind of like he did pretty much did everything. Sean Connery's a boss, like you said. The Rock, I mean, sir, a great movie. We should rewatch that.
Definitely.
They got the green, or, you know, Alcatraz, everything, you know, Sean Connery saying The Rock, like, you know, that's all I need.
And little Nick Cage sprinkled on top. Last bit of news, sir.
Again, tough one here. Prayers, thoughts and prayers to Sean Connery's family. Look, a tough set of news. Yeah, it's one of those weeks, sir. You get the Arsenal loss, you get a bunch of tough news. But like we said, the ups and downs, around and around we go. A little more lighthearted. This one is the manager who shall not be named from the club who shall not be named on the podcast agrees with Ole Gunnar Solskjaer over a new Premier League rule change. And Solskjaer had previously said 100% I'd like to have the five subs in the English Premier League. He says, I don't understand. I cannot believe the vote that went against this new rule. You have to look at the players and think about the players. This season is the most demanding season of all. And I can see a point why clubs voted against this, but if you take this step and you actually think about these professional footballers and their mental and physical health, I think the only sensible solution would have to give the managers the opportunity to rest a few more players. And I have to agree with the European schedule. It's getting kind of crazy. I mean, what's your opinion here? I initially liked that they didn't allow five subs in the league. I didn't like that, but given all the rotation and everything going on, would it make it more exciting to have five subs?
I mean, I think it's the right move just because the level of football that's now being played is like, it's basically unsustainable. It's like, that's why there's so many injuries. It's like, you can't play this much football at this high of a level week in, week out and just never have a break. So the more subs make sense. I think there's a reason they kept it in the Champions League. And I think they should have kept it in Europe because even small clubs, like you got subs, you got academy players, you know, you're going to get injuries. It's just like you benefit from this as well. I think they just kind of, this is one of those cut off your nose to spite your face because they thought, oh yeah, that'll benefit all the big sides. But
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
I think like a Brighton's going to want a fourth and fifth sub. If they're down, you could throw on players. I think subs are good for either team, whether it's a big side or a small side.
Well, subs weren't introduced until the 1960s. Like at all. And then the first season, it was only introduced if someone was injured.
Right.
So before someone got injured, then you had to go down a man. Everyone had to play 90 minutes. I mean, we're talking, that's when Nobby Styles played, you know, that's Sir Bobby. These are the days. Unbelievable, right? And then now they have three, and I think it's inevitable they'll have five. So this is kind of like a clap back to the, hey, we don't want to move to that. But I think for this season, the more I think about it, I do agree. You know, as long as you don't increase the amount of subbing instances, like you can only do that three instances, then yeah. I think it's fine.
Yeah, and I agree. No more instances because that'll just slow the game down to a level that's just, you know, not good. So
it's hockey, bro. You know, it's like you have to draw the line somewhere.
Seriously.
Sir, look, we have some fan questions. Thank you to everyone who tweeted us your thoughts on Twitter. I have not gone through them. I'm scrolling down right now. I can only imagine. Sir, we're going to the dark side of the moon.
take us through, sir.
Sun don't shine on the dark side of the moon. We appreciate all the hot banter. Let's go through it at BryGuy66. Dreadful performance. Arsenal didn't even look that spectacular today, and that's the frustrating part. Totally agree. Like the Chelsea game, we had another opportunity for 3 points and dropped it. I don't give a shit about CL wins when we're playing this bad in the Premier League. P.S. Fred is trash. Ole's got to know that you're judged on your table position in England, sir. If we got knocked out of the Champions League and we finished third, no one would have, you know, no one would complain.
Yeah, they would. People would always complain because it's Manchester United and they expect very high things. And you're also only as good as your last result. So it's like, what, 5-0? Who gives a shit about 5-0? You just lost 1-0 to Arsenal, like the Arsenal. So people are salty. I get it. And people are going to stay salty until we beat Istanbul. And then you'll forget about it until the next game. Well,
everyone knows this. Like, and I guess maybe I'm being a little too pragmatic here, that the ceiling in the Champions League is like, you know, round of 16 or like quarters. Like the ceiling for United is really quarterfinals. So even if we do well in the group, for us to advance past quarters, I think that's probably the market expectation.
And what's the ceiling in the league, mate?
What?
What's the ceiling in the league then?
Before the Arsenal, it would be winning.
Yeah, okay. That changed everything. We were going to win the league. Now we're not winning. We're crashing out.
But if you look at the league, it's wide open right now, and you need to be chipping up. And if we're just completely bottling it, and then we're doing like we're overplaying. Sir Alex had the balance. You don't overplay Champions League and underplay the league. You got to manage both. You need to win one of the Chelsea and Arsenal games. But like I said, if we win Istanbul, you look at the past five, it'll be 3-1-1. And given that schedule, it's not that bad. It just happens to fall on the league games. But those are valued more by fans.
I don't know. I enjoyed beating PSG. If you traded that, would you trade that for a win against Chelsea or Arsenal? I don't know if I would.
At the risk of playing in Europe, playing on Thursday nights next season?
Well, not if we just win the whole thing, sir. Not if we just like take it all, baby. Plus 2,400.
Next tweet at IC1, quote, 7 points from 6 games, 1 point from 4 home games. I don't care about Champions League. This is pathetic. Ole needs to do something fast.
You better do something. People are pissed. Sounds like people are pissed, sir.
Quote, at Mr. Black 30-30-30, quote, Gabriel should have gotten a second yellow for his tackle on Greenwood on the touchline. Ball goes past him. He trips Greenwood as Greenwood goes past and then steps on his foot. Isn't that a yellow, sir?
No, it is. It's just like we're not whinging. I'm not even whinging about the freaking penalty. Give him the penalty. But that is a yellow all day holding, bald ass holding, bro. Shave your head, dude. Do yourself a favor. He should have got sent off because he pulled back. Like, because they got beat a couple times, did tactical fouls, and then all of a sudden United did a tactical foul. We got a yellow right away. This Gabriel thing was the same thing. Mike Dean just gave a penalty. It was a yellow all day. He was in the box, basically could have squared a ball to someone, to Rashford for a goal, and got pulled down. The fact that it's not a yellow, even the announcers, who are clearly Arsenal like favorites, were like, that could be a yellow. Probably should be a yellow.
At HCavs9 on Twitter, quote, Pogba's inconsistency strikes again. Ole tactically got it wrong, as were his sub choices. Team was too slow. 7 points from 6 matches is inexcusable, sir.
Tough Ole. He always got a tough road, sir. He didn't get any of his signings. How's he expected to perform? You know, Mikel Arteta, fucking poor man's Pep. Got his signings. Got a center back. Got a CDM.
It's never as bad as everyone says.
Yeah.
It sucks. Today sucked. I'm not going to deny that. But this team and this manager are not terrible. You got to give them time, sir. Look, if United are 12th or 13th on January 1st, I'm not going to argue, right? But, you know, we need time. This is a tough – you have to look logistically how many fixtures we're playing and who we're playing against and how we've done. You know, it just happens to fall on Champions League.
No, January is a proxy, but it's not about where you finish. It's about where you finish when the league ends. And the league ends not in January, not today. It ends – I don't even know when it ends. It usually ends in May. So next year probably ends in June because of this crazy-ass schedule. But that's when it ends, and that's when we figure out whether or not Ole is the guy to go around the carousel for another year. He earned another year by finishing third, bro. That squad, that like you get a year. He's not gonna get us relegated, but sir,
I would hate to break it to you.
That's not how it works.
But I'm gonna tell you that Ed Woodward, if that were below 10th in the table around January, he's probably getting the sack. It's very common for managers to get sacked around that time if teams are not in a good position, right?
And if, if you're a very bad CEO, like one of the worst CEOs in the Premier League, yes, you will do that. I do not put a pass. I'm likely Ed Woodward will make a gut call if we're in that position. But I hope Ole and I hope the boys will respond for Ole and make sure that his head is not on the chopping block when it comes to January.
No, totally. Absolutely. At JDW300, quote, no goals for open play is all about the positivity I can muster. Midfield was shockingly bad compared to Champions League. Pogba, awful. Fred and McSauce, no real quality. Taking Bruno was asinine at best. Now we go to Turkey for 3 points, sir. Totally agree. At Bilkstro on Twitter, quote, Pogba's going to get the blame for the L because of the penalty. Bad tackle. But why is maybe our most creative player in the opposition box? Where's the intensity throughout the squad? And the lead up to that penalty is lackadaisical. There's no urgency at all on defense. I would agree here. The diamond, we were swimming. Pogba was out of position. You know, Fred didn't come off. McTominay didn't come off. I really think they should have got Matic in sooner. I think you're right. Pogba might should have come off. Maybe we should think about adding James or Pace, try to get him behind Arsenal, stretch them a little bit. I think that Ole did change it, but not enough. And Pogba defending in our own box is not where he should be. At Dave Paz, quote, sorry, Ole, but you got that one wrong. The players look lost and confused. At Rolling Deep 1995, tough loss. Played poorly and shambolic officiating did not do us any favors. Pogba should have been subbed off much earlier, and Rashford and Greenwood had a bad day. This lack of final third passing seems to be the theme. Ole needs to get back to the drawing board and regroup.
Tough day. Tough day at the office, sir. All around. But we need to rebound, and we need to get a big win against a winnable side that's Istanbul. So I think that would cheer people up. Thumping down in Turkey would help.
Great tweet here. At MJFit16, quote, that sucked. A gift penalty decided it. We need to be able to overcome Mike Dean at home.
He's done it against us before. We didn't deserve to win, probably didn't deserve to lose, but that's just the way football goes sometimes. That's just the way it goes.
No, and that's the thing. I thought we could have gotten that goal, dude. I thought we could have got two. Like, if we would have scored, if we would have netted a goal in the 70th, Arsenal would have crumbled like the baby bitches they are. That's the problem, right? They're so soft. They are barely holding on to that 1-0 gift penalty win. And if we scored, I think we would have gone on to win.
No, I agree. It could have gone either way. It's just that we didn't look our best, and they just looked like typical Arsenal. But let them celebrate it, sir. Let them celebrate. It's a long season.
Aubameyang trying to time waste coming off in like the 80th minute. Dude, like they're hanging on to a win. Like this is like it's club, like come
bro.
On.
They're a chump club, bro.
Yeah, they got nothing. They got that. You have to see it for what it is. It's like if we got played off the park and Arsenal dominated us. Like yeah. We gotta be like a little more upset, but it's like it was another like shit game in the league, and like you know we got to do better. It's on only on the players. At Julie Breathauer 15th, cringe emoji, sir. That 15th, is that where we're at in the table? I'm not looking at it. Okay. I haven't looked at it. 15th.
Yeah, I'm not looking. We got a game in hand.
How many teams?
Also 15th, but it's like we're like 5 points off sixth. It's like just everyone, just calm down.
There's 50 teams, right? There's 50 teams in the league, so we're almost top 10.
Yeah, we're killing it. No, but like, yeah, 15th, but like how many points off are we? So I agree. I know we're not doing great, but let's just...
Sir, it's not good. That's not good. Okay. I'm going to tell you
sir. It's like, if there are these questions, it's like daggers.
There's optics, bro. Optics. It's not good for the brand. It's not good for the stock. We're 15th. It's not good. The
Glazers are not good for the stock.
15th out of 20. What is that? 25 percentile? You know, you're like, we're dying. At Mountain Man underscore Nide, quote, we need to win the Champions League because there's no way this team is finishing in the top four. Ooh, sorry, what do you make of that? We need to win the Champions League to get top four already? We out of the top four?
It's only been 6 games. How many games are there in a Premier League season, John? 38 games, dude. It's like we're not to ever just chill out. Yes, yeah, we're okay. We're terrible. We're the best team ever. We're winning the Champions League. We're getting relegated. And around we go. Sir, I think we're going to finish top four and win the Champions League. How about that?
Yeah, one thing we can agree on, and we'll finish on this point. And again, thank you to everyone who did tweet us. At Dante Zinferno. Quote, the inconsistency is maddening. If there was a theme, it would be that. Is that it's hard to see them play like that against Leipzig and then come home and play like this against Arsenal. Again, we're talking about the Ferrari. You know, it's like we're trying to – like a young kid learning the manual Ferrari. It's like kind of get started, it gets stopped. And the thing is consistency, and consistency is mentality, sir. It starts with the mentality. And right now we're playing like we're a young team that can't live up to our potential every night. Because like if you're a good professional team, you show up in Istanbul on Tuesday. You show up at home against Arsenal on Sunday, and there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But for some reason, we probably celebrated the RB game a little too much, and we got a little ahead of ourselves. And we weren't prepared. It's just as simple as that, sir.
No, we talked about it when we opened the pod. Their inconsistency. It's always been the problem with this team. I think they're getting more consistent, but they still have that issue. They still have a soft mentality. It's not quite a winner's mentality yet, but I think they're building on it. I think the coach is getting better. I think the team is getting better, but it's going to be rocky roads. Directionally, we're heading up. It's just that ups and downs on the way. As long as it's two steps forward, one step back, you're making progress. It's just that it's not necessarily the smoothest path.
Yeah, and a point you made earlier is that actually our defense played well. Like Harry Maguire stepped up. Lindelof has actually – they've actually stepped up. They actually look good compared to how we started the season. Like our defense is looking strong. Luke Shaw can't cross as well as Telles. But again, that's not like any knock on Luke Shaw. You know, like it'd be nice to have Amada in there to be able to cross it. But, you know, it's just – we're close, sir. We're close. And, you know, let's get to Istanbul. Let's beat Everton, and then this is just a bump on the road, a bump in the road. You know, if we falter in Istanbul, we falter at Everton. Those are the things. All this does is just raise the ante on these two games. These two games were must win anyway, but now they're like pretty much Ole needs to must win to dispel the Ole outers.
Sir, name a game that's not a must win. Find me a game. We'll play 60 games this year. You point to a game that wasn't a must win. They're all must wins.
If we qualify for Champions League. We win our group, and basically mathematically no one can reach us, then it's not a must win.
Yeah, okay, yes, correct. There will be some games that are technically not must wins in this path, but literally, listen back to the pods. They're basically all must wins, my man. They're all must wins.
This early they are, and just to, you know, conspiracy theory time, this is bonus time because John could go all day. Alex,
Shut him down. Shut him down.
You know what you need? You need like that walk-off music at the
office. Yeah, where is that? Borrow dime, bro.
you're like play me, like play me.
Play him off. Play him off.
This guy. So conspiracy theory, Poch is somehow like been like, you know, I don't like Ed Woodward, and if I was Ed Woodward, I'd be doing this, right? Essentially, Pochettino has always been linked with United. I think Neil Ashton's been seen with Pochettino. This was before, right, when Ole was going to get fired. I think there's something – there's definitely back-channeling with Poch. I think Poch has been told it's his job when Ole fails. I have to think that that conversation's been had. And obviously, the reason why you do it is because – for whatever reason, we know through channels here, Stan Chow, friend of the pod, said that Sir Alex Ferguson loves Pochettino. I think that there has been some back channeling. He's probably been told if Ole gets fired, it's your job, but we don't know when. And so I think Ed Woodward is kind of like banking on having to fire Ole and then bringing him in. And I think once that happens, we'll have known the whole time that he's been the man behind the scenes. What? And I have to think that is the deal, right? And
why is that the deal? Like, why? That's such a bad idea. Like, Pochettino is not a good coach. He's won less than Ole. He's won zero as a manager. Zero, zero, nothing. Go to his resume, CV. And sir, I'm just saying, is Ole's won, and sir, he won just as much as Moyes, which is fuck all.
Sir.
Molda. Sir. He won a title at Molda. It counts. It's more than Pochettino. It's like, if we appoint Pochettino, that means Everton still have a better manager as us, bro. It's like, take their manager. Take him.
Sir, I understand that you...
It would be such a Woodward move. It would be like, yeah, let's fire him, bring in Pochettino, and then we'll fire Pochettino in two. It's like such a... Sir, it's exhausting. I can't do it. No, God, if they freaking punch me, I'm out of here, bro.
No. First of all, you're not going anywhere. You can't keep going on vacation rental for me. The thing about I don't want Pochettino at United either. And that's what I'm trying to say is like, it seems to me that if you're running a football club and you ran it like the way Ed Woodward would run it, he would kind of do this back channel deal. So it's almost like his own boss the chairman of the club isn't really rooting for him because he just wants Pochettino to come in because they think he's like the chosen one for whatever reason. I don't know. And that's why you see a lot of the press. Like, think about Ole lost two games, and then there was already leaking to the press, like, hey, Pochettino's the man for United. It's like, why would that happen if there wasn't something going on?
Because,
like, Neil Ashton's with Pochettino. Neil Ashton's the PR guy for Woodward at United. Now all of a sudden the press is saying this. I'm just doing the conspiracy, connecting the dots. And so, you know, I think, you know, when Ole loses and then it feels like it's almost like him against the world. Like, United is not even coming out and protecting him or saying that he's safe at his job. It seems like, you know, premeditated, partner. That's what I think.
I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here because we could chew up hours. But it's like, sir, it's because Woodward is an idiot and a terrible human being and bad at his job. So it's like, yeah, let's make a distraction by our poor league performance by like drudging up a rumor about bringing in a new manager. Who's like Maurizio Pochettino, bro? I was like, come on, dude. He's not gonna be like the second coming. If he was legit, Fergie would have picked him instead of Moyes, and he picked fucking David Moyes, bro. That was his shot. You lost it. You don't get to pick another manager. We're doing it low and slow now. We're doing it like we're not going to spend a lot of money. We're doing it. We're bringing in personalities. Ole has shown that. Pochettino is just like another version of that. What are you going to get differently? That's what I don't get. It's like people that are crying over Poch. What are you getting that you're not getting with Ole?
Sir, you're making my point for myself. That's all I'm saying is I think if you read the tea leaves a little bit, I kind of see all this stuff setting up. But be careful what you wish for, because a lot of fans that want to see Pochettino in. But guess what? It's just the whole idea of switching the manager, everything's going to change, is kind of false, right? There's issues with the players. There's issues with why they can't motivate themselves for a game, like Roy Keane said. You can't blame Ole always, right? And I think the cheap way for Woodward is to blame Ole, sack him at some point this year, bring in Pochettino, and then be like, now we're going to back the manager. Now we're going to do all this stuff and kind of sell you the dream. And what we'll probably see is more of the same. So I think you're right. The right way to do it is to let Ole run it, have a long-term vision of the club, let youth come through. If Pogba leaves, he leaves, and you kind of go from there. So you build it over time, and you back a manager. But what I hate about this club is Ed Woodward's cutting his nose off to spite his face. It's almost like they're not backing the manager, and I just don't want fans to fall for that trope. That's all I'm saying, sir. That's all I'm saying.
I think that's a good PSA, because we can't be rubes and fall for this like trick that he does every 2 years, which is like – fire, rinse, and repeat. Back them for one summer. Make Champions League. Don't back them. They fucking fail. They get fired or bring in another manager. It's like, yeah, that's a great, very sustainable path to long future of success. That's how Fergie won 13 titles, bro. And like, you know, it's like, no, you give the man time. You invest in him, and you get out of his fucking way. And instead, Woodward thinks he's smart. Like, he thinks he's like really smart. He thinks he's like he's pulling the strings over in England. He's like emphatically shit at his job. Sorry, go
sir,
on, mate.
That's why. Our Glazers Out merchandise on our online store, AmericaRedels.com, is on sale, sir. Glazers Out scarf, $9.99. You can't get a better deal.
Can't.
That's the podcast, conspiracy theories and all, sir, playing me off with the Oscar speech music. Fans by fans. We always have a blast doing the podcast. Like I said, this is a remote pod, but we'd rather get more podcasts out. Doing it remote, that's how we can be consistent with the uploads. We appreciate everyone with the banter, everyone who supports us. You want to support us, drop 5 stars on iTunes, sir. Cheeky review. Love the banter. We should start reading out those reviews on the podcast. We always forget to do that, but we should do that. You want a sticker, email it to us, americaredelves@gmail.com. We will send you a free sticker. Support the pod. Check out our blog, www.americaredelves.com. We have some great fan contributors. If you're interested in contributing to the blog, email us as well. Check out our online store. We have some cool merchandise, and we'll be bringing in some more with our fresh Stanley Chow logo and new cover. We'll be getting that out next week. And join our Patreon if you're interested, patreon.com/AmericanRedDevils. Look, we pay hosting. We run the website. We do a lot of stuff. Anything can go a long way for supporting us. We're looking for 100 Patreon supporters there, and we'll be dropping exclusive designs and content as well. So, look, you heard it all, sir. From the American Red Devils. I think we talked about it all. What a shit match. But we're on to the next one. It's been a hell of an episode. Give us our top downloads last 7 days.
Sir, number one, how you doing? How you doing? Croydon, UK. Number two, Rogers, Arkansas. Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Brooklyn, New York. Denver, Colorado. Houston, Texas. Oslo, Norway. Chicago, Illinois, Lee Summit, Missouri, and last but not least, San Pedro, California. Appreciate all our American Red Devils around the world listening in, week out. Like you said, sir, let's go down to Istanbul. Let's get a result. Let's turn the tide of negativity. Whew, stay off Twitter.
Sir, we come in Istanbul. Istanbul FC. What is that? Moscow Mickey D's FC. 3 points, baby. You heard it here. As always.
Kicking a blue.